in the realm of questionable life choices.
Yeah, we make a lot of them.
Yeah.
You're listening to Dots, Lines, and Destinations, a travel podcast with hosts Stephen Seagraves, Foz Mamoon, and Seth Miller.
Hello, and welcome to episode 574 of Dots, Lines, and Destinations. I'm Stephen Seagraves, joined by Mr. Seth Miller and Mr. Foz Mamoon. Gentlemen.
Hiya.
Good evening. How was your Valentine's Day and weekend and President's Day long weekend? How was it?
So far, so good.
Yeah. I don't have President's Day off, so, you know, that part's less good.
Yeah. It's funny who does and who doesn't. Like,
well, it's just annoying to me is like one client does and one client doesn't that I'm dealing with. So you're
working.
So I'm working anyways, yeah.
did you go skiing, Seth?
I did. Cross-country skiing.
Oh, cross-country skiing. Okay.
Yeah, I don't do downhill. We went tubing one day. My wife's work had an outing, and I was invited. So we went tubing. Bizarrely, the hill had a day pass, except it wasn't a day pass. It was a visit pass. I was like, oh, we're going to get some lunch and come back. She's like, oh, you'll have to buy a new ticket. I was like, how would you even know? And I walked away. Like, it was very annoying. And then the next day we did cross-country skiing.
You'll do downhill tubing, but not sure. Downhill skiing?
Correct.
Why is that?
Well, downhill skiing involves a lot more downhill, whereas downhill tubing is relatively sane.
Gotcha.
You're like maybe 20 miles an hour. You're never that high, and you're inside a giant rubberized thing, so you have some ability to, you know, control yourself as opposed to strapping two little pieces of wood under your feet or fiberglass, I guess, these days, pointing downhill and hoping for the best.
You're the same guy who goes underwater for fun.
I love scuba diving.
Yeah, we are different people. I did roller skating the other day, and I don't recommend that to anyone over 40.
four-wheel roller skates?
Yeah, I couldn't. That's the problem. I was telling my wife that, like, there's a false sense of security because you have four wheels on each foot, but I think it actually makes it worse because you're like, oh, I'm safe. No, you're not. One foot goes forward.
Sorry, this was classic, like, two and two or, like, a four inline?
Yeah, two and two. I would rather have been on inline skates.
I'm not good on those either.
Yeah, like, I can
I'm not good at cross-country skiing either. I mean, I go once every 5 years, so.
I think the most misguided thing about roller skates is the stopper. That just makes you flip over.
Yeah, no, who uses that?
What the walls are for.
Yeah. Exactly. That's what I use the walls for, or I fall. All right, follow-up. This isn't from last week. This is from a while back.
From a while back.
White Castle. Have you tried it? Is that the follow-up?
The follow-up is I have not tried it, but Marty St. George did and posted about it on his Blue Sky account, and it was terrible.
I mean, are we surprised?
No.
I'm reading his Blue Sky take right now.
Yeah, it is very bad. It is not recommended.
Oh, that does not look good. It comes in a little plastic bag. Oh, no.
And part of what I wonder is, like, just based on the serving setup, it's like, and I mean, it shouldn't be that surprising, but if you ordered four, you'd get like four giant containers with a little slider in it.
Yeah.
Right? They can't like individually just cut out the number that you need and put them in the right thing and service. But that's the least of the challenges I feel like it has. It's just bad. Just very, very bad. Don't do it.
I mean, it's good to know. Good to know.
Someone else tried that. Thank you.
Thanks, Marty, for taking one for the team. El Paso. So I don't remember what day this even happened. It feels like every day is an eternity. So, this was Tuesday or was it Monday?
It was early.
Yeah. So the airspace around El Paso and parts of New Mexico and into Mexico were closed.
Not into Mexico. We can't control Mexican airspace.
That's true. Fair enough. Was closed by the FAA. There was a NOTAM for pilots and basically El Paso Airport shut down. And we still don't really know. Well, we kind of do now. Someone had a party balloon that went into the sky and the military decided it would be a good time to try their space lasers. And they attempted to shoot the balloon down. They did shoot it. It was successful.
The CBP shot it down, not the Department of Defense.
Okay, fair.
DOD gave control of the Locust laser anti-whatever system to CBP to manage. According to reports, they get 1,000 drone sightings monthly along the border, which is, I know, very high to me, but
I think the drone sightings keep going up. I mean, we've had more and more drone sightings here in Portland, people just flying them around random places. So,
yeah, I mean, I guess, and along the border, the question is how and why, but
yeah,
it's the what's interesting about it initially was it was a basically with immediate effect, unannounced 10-day shutdown of the airspace, which is unprecedented at many levels. Ultimately, it was retracted about 7 hours later.
Yep.
And it does seem to be related to use of this laser system that had the risk to affect commercial aircraft and something of a pissing contest between DOD and FAA saying it's safe to for us to operate this even with airlines around. And the FAA saying, okay, show us the data, show us what you got. And the DOD saying, no, we can't share it, it's secret. And I have had the unique experience of being in a plane that was lased with a green laser. Not that unique, but relatively. Like, it's, I can't imagine, and I don't know what laser they're using in these things, but like, I can't imagine any of it is good. And so being able to say, oh no, it's safe for us to shoot lasers around your airplanes seems bizarre. Also, one that has enough power to take down a drone, like, seems like it could punch a hole in in the aluminum skin of an airplane, right? Like,
you think so.
Kind of the purpose.
So did the FAA issued the 10-day closure. Why 10 days? Have they answered that question?
I haven't seen a formal statement anywhere. The running theory is they were so pissed that they wanted to make sure it got the attention it deserved, and a 10-day shutdown would do that. Might if they close it for an hour or whatever, like people are like, oh, huh, that happened. But by making it a 10-day, everybody talked about it and it forced the topic into the public discourse.
But when we launch rockets, it may explode high up into the stratosphere. That's fine.
Oh, no, they put up NOTAMs for that, too.
Yeah, sometimes, but sometimes they don't cover the area that might actually be impacted by the rocket when the rocket goes off course.
Ish. There's wide deference is given.
Yes. So it really was, it's the definition of a pissing match. Like, they were having a pissing match with CBP. Great. It's perfect. Everything's fine.
Yeah. I don't know. That whole thing is just messy.
I mean, because at first it sounded like they were like actually trying to shoot down a drone. And then it made it sound like they were operating drones. And then the story changed to, we shot down a party balloon.
Yeah. Well, I think, had they admitted that it's a balloon and not a drone?
I mean, that was what was said, was like, it was a party balloon that it got away. It was a very large party balloon. That's the last story I read.
Yeah.
Maybe that's incorrect. So, anyway. Next up, Birmingham Airport in the UK.
Okay.
Wants to relaunch services to New York and is offering financial incentives to do so.
Yeah, which is often how new markets get established. Airport shows up with a bag of cash, whether it's revenue guarantees or just outright funding, and says, hey, airlines, we got some cash here. I don't want to give it a go. The question is, can Birmingham support it? And it's a decent amount of money, but probably not enough. And gets back into the conversation around, is there actually enough demand from a secondary market to get one-off service versus funneling everybody through London?
Well, we know the answer to this, and the answer is no. It's been flown. It was flown by Continental. It was always empty.
Yeah. It's been also a decade since they did that. Has the market changed enough? Is there, you could run off all the things, right? There's similar from Cardiff, Wales is getting its, was it Toronto, I think, flight back, right? So there are some interesting things being tried from secondary markets. And again, England isn't that big. You can, generally get to Heathrow or Manchester within a couple hours of drive time. So is it worth it? I tend towards no, but even Manchester is struggling to maintain all this transatlantic.
I think in the current political climate, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Right?
There's been a drastic drop off of people visiting the US. A Birmingham to the US flight would predominantly be used by people in England, not by people in the US. It's not exactly a big destination. So I can't imagine if Co couldn't make it work when things were good on a 7-5 that in the current environment, it would be any that would survive.
If UA had more planes, I mean, I think the struggle is like Delta's already said they're not going to do single aisles across the ocean, right?
They say that for now. They can always change their mind.
I mean, this could be like the perfect thing for American, like JFK or Philly, Birmingham, nonstop on a 788.
They'll announce it for 2030.
What do you mean? Why 788? Why not an XLR?
I mean, I guess they could do an XLR, but would they actually commit an XLR to that when they can? They have these 788s that seem to be put on random routes.
Remember, American used to do Chicago, Manchester, and Philly, Manchester, and they haven't brought those back either.
Yeah. Why Birmingham over somewhere else? Don't you think there's more, like, more tourist-focused destinations in the UK? Edinburgh.
Well, in this case, Birmingham's the one trying to ask for it and fund it.
Yeah. But, like, what, I mean, I guess my question is, what would, as an airline, what would encourage you to go to Birmingham over something else besides the financial? Yeah, well, besides that.
Nothing, even with the money.
Yeah. I don't know. I think you're right, Seth. The XLR is the key to doing this.
Yeah, right. Just operating costs, trip costs is so much lower than a 788. Yeah. I'd have to think that that's the way that they'd pull it off. But, you know, to Foz's point about reduced demand, you know, year over year, UK to US is down like 6%.
Yep.
So
I saw something someone suggested that Alaska should start Seattle to Berlin. And I'm like, no, absolutely no. It's a very Delta move if they did that, but there's very little traffic from Berlin to the United States from a business perspective. And I don't think there's enough tourism right now from Berlin to justify it. And the only thing you've got is 789s.
We've got United with the year round Berlin flight, Delta with a seasonal.
I think it's seasonal from JFK.
And is AA bringing back their flight?
Where were they doing it, JFK?
Philly.
I hadn't seen anything about it. Let's see.
All right.
But that's it. I mean, United couulden't make Dulles work, which is why.
I forgot they even tried that.
Yeah, Americans got nothing. Got this as seasonal.
I mean, Berlin has a huge population. I just don't think that it's a leisure market.
And well, I think everybody is connecting to get to the United States.
Yeah.
And I think part of the reason why United can do it is because of the joint venture.
Yeah. Share the cost with
Lufty.
Yep. Yep. Let's talk about Avianca resuming. We talked about Caracas last week, but Avianca is actually starting up service daily from Bogota.
Started this past weekend.
And they're doing it daily, multiple times a day or just one?
I think it's just once a day to start.
Okay.
But yeah, back and forth to Bogota. People are moving, planes are moving.
It's good.
Probably good. Yeah.
Probably good. And then Ava is starting service to Dulles from Taipei.
Guys could do that one instead of Phoenix.
They have no open up award space.
Yeah.
Ah, those jerks.
When does it start?
July 1st, I think.
Okay. Do you think, I mean, is this like to take advantage of some of United's connecting flow? Because I actually kind of find it odd.
Are United and Eva playing nice with each other these days?
Nicer, I guess, than Singapore. Yeah, I don't know. It has to be connecting flow, though.
Maybe.
What's your thoughts on why not?
It could be connecting flow beyond Taipei.
There's not a joint venture. There's barely a code share. I would assume it's more connections on the Taipei side than the U.S. side. It's not every day of the week either.
Mm-hmm.
Flight leaves Dulles at 2 in the morning.
And lands when?
5:45 a.m. plus one.
Oof, that's brutal.
But it gives you opportunity to connect basically everywhere onward.
Mm-hmm.
Coming into the United States, lands at 10:30 p.m. So that's not working on connecting traffic.
Yeah. What is it? When does that depart in Taipei? Is it like 5 p.m.?
7:30 p.m.
I mean, that's nice. It gives you a full day
yeah.
of work in Taipei if you need. So that's good.
Yeah.
And that connects to a lot of stuff. You're right. So it's on the Taipei side.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, cool.
But 4 days a week service isn't bad.
And they're doing it on 789?
Yeah. 787. I'm not sure which model, but yeah.
Yeah.
That might be too far for a 10.
Probably. 15 hours.
Yeah. So it has to be 9.
They have a lot of 9s. Air Asia X is set to get its first Bahrain route. We talked about this, I don't know, probably 3 or 4 weeks ago, maybe even longer ago. And they're going to do Kuala Lumpur to Bahrain to London Gatwick.
Yeah, this is an interesting one. Daily service on an A330. It's like a 7 or 8 hour flight to Bahrain, a 2 hour layover in the middle of the night, and then another 7 or 8 hour flight to Gatwick and vice versa. So the flight times are rough. I could argue like no one wants to be spending 14 hours sitting or 13 hours that the nonstop would be sitting in an AirAsia 333 or slopey angle flat premium economy for that long anyways. So the stop is good, but that timing is tight.
But I mean, BA is flying Heathrow Kuala Lumpur these days, I believe. So there's enough people sitting in the back for that long of a flight.
Yeah, but, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying BA in the back is comfortable, but AirAsia X is a whole different world.
Fair.
Is that 28-inch pitch or 29-inch pitch, I think?
In the back? I forgot how they pitch it, but it's 333 on a 330 instead of 242.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And it's also interesting that they're trying to get rid of the 330s.
Yeah, so what are they going to do this on in the future?
In theory, an XLR.
Now, that's even worse.
Depending on how it's configured.
I mean, it's still 3-3.
Yeah.
So arguably, it's a wider seat than 3-3-3 on the 330. It's more like a 2-4-2 width seat.
Sounds painful.
Yes, it does.
Either way.
Yeah. But, you know, this is the first steps towards putting together the hub in Bahrain with a local AOC, so a local, locally licensed airline that's going to basically be based there with crew and whatever based there instead of flying in from Asia or Southeast Asia. So yeah, that's the other part of it that's interesting. And right, this is Wizz Air tried to do the same thing in Abu Dhabi, which is, you know, not so far away. And will this have a better success given the regional competition and everything else? You've got a lot of very deep pockets competing from Abu Dhabi, from Qatar, from Dubai, from Riyadh.
I don't know how this is successful. I mean, what is the goal that they have? I mean, are they maybe just selling traffic to Bahrain? Do they have rights to sell onward traffic? Like, can you buy Bahrain to Gatwick on its own?
Yes. They have local rights on all of it.
So is that the key here? Is they want to pick up that traffic too? I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah. I mean, they certainly want that traffic, whether they get it or not.
Remains to be seen.
Yeah. Yeah. Not great.
And then Spirit, selling 20 planes. Things are just not going well for Spirit.
Well, I mean, maybe this helps. It's worth $500 million.
So what does that buy them? Another 6 months?
Plus or minus, yeah.
Feels like they're just delaying the inevitable. Like,
I think they're just buying time for someone to make them an offer.
Yeah.
That ain't going to be Frontier.
Nope. They're thinning their ranks too.
So what are their options then? Who could they sell to? And is it just a play for the planes?
Well, I think that play is reducing every time they sell planes.
Yeah. Do you know if these were...
Remember that they still have their order book.
So they could jump... People could jump lines.
Yeah.
In Airbus's order book.
Right. Who wants... Does anyone really want 20... not old, but relatively not great A320 and A321 CEOs?
Delta. Like, Delta's never met a used plane they wouldn't take.
It's not true. 777s.
They took them. They quickly got rid of them.
No, those are all the ones that they bought new. They never took the secondhand ones.
The LRs were new?
Yeah, the LRs were new, as were the ERs that they had.
Wow. After Sebastian bragged about getting new planes for $7 million, or new used planes for $7 million, remember that?
Yeah, but they had the LRs before that statement. They had, what, 6 LRs and 8 ERs.
Yeah, I mean, it was a very small fleet.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see Delta actually taking the 320s. I mean, even the 321s, maybe.
United is getting rid of their 320s. There's more to be had. Still be younger than the Northwest ones.
Yeah. Swapping them out.
In this case, the 20 are being sold to a third party, lessor kind of company. These are the same 20 that were supposed to have been sold during the first bankruptcy, but they never got it done before that bankruptcy ended.
Oh, interesting.
So most of them aren't in service anyways. I don't know. That part is interesting. It's like, and deliveries run over a 5-month period, starting within, you know, the first ones are due like 75 days after the contract is signed.
Okay.
And it finishes within 150 days of the contract signing. So, but it's an 8-week-ish window, 75 days, 10-week window.
What does their order book look like? Is it mostly A321 Neos?
Yeah, it's all Neos.
All Neos. I wonder how hard that is for Airbus to convert to XLRs. Probably not easy.
As long as they've got 18 months notice, trivial. 24 months notice, usually that. So that's the thing about Airbus and Boeing. When you get an order book, you get slots for the type, which basically holds you a space on the assembly line.
Mm-hmm.
And then, especially when you're pushing, you know, an order book that's a decade long, as you get closer to when they start ordering, you know, parts from their suppliers to assemble it, you specify what model you want and what the configuration is going to be.
Yeah.
Right. So you say, I want something from the A320 Neo family, and you can tell them roughly what they are. But a lot of times airlines will say, we want the 320s with options to switch it to the 321, which is a more expensive plane. But you pay your initial down payment on the order is based as a percentage of the total order price. So you pay a cheaper amount if you book the cheaper one. And I'm sure there's some math somewhere along the line of it, the amount it changes by is different. And so you're dealing with the time value of money, and do you pay it more now or more later? But you book what you want, and then you have the flexibility to change it. And Boeing does the same thing. You say, I want a plane off the MAX, you know, family. And then somewhere down the line, you say, okay, you've got to start talking to your suppliers and get, like, you know, fuselage barrels and wing components and wiring harnesses and all this other shit started from those production lines. And when you say that, like, you know, you need a different number of oxygen masks if it's 320 versus a 321. So we got to actually know which one you're getting.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. It's always an interesting thing for me.
But yeah, this is, I mean, that order book, I'd have to go back and look it up, because they did change it with the leasing and all, like, a lot of them were leases, and then there were some that were like lease buybacks and stuff. And they did rebook it with one of the bankruptcy filings and the fight that they're having with their lessor that triggered the second bankruptcy.
Yeah.
Oh, it says AerCap, maybe. But so they did restructure that order book, but they've got, like, I don't know, 40-ish, maybe 50 planes expected over the next few years. And they are relatively newish deliveries, or short-term deliveries.
Yeah.
So, yes, if someone else wanted to jump in line, that would be a good way to do it.
Definitely. Yeah. Real quick, I think there's two things I wanted to talk about before we jump to the Patreon discussion. Built, since we've talked about Built before, I don't know if you guys saw, but Built, people's mortgage payments didn't go through. Like, and this is causing, like, a huge uproar. So I thought it was worth mentioning.
Oops.
A lot of things are not going the way they're supposed to go.
Tell me more, Foz.
Well, like, so I guess there's a link through Points Guy to apply, and there's a 5X promo, and it was a number of people, even though they used that link, it did not register. And then people started fabricating emails trying to say they did use that link. There was a group of people who did. Then there's a group of people who missed out on the 5X promo, so they started creating false emails. And then Bill came back and said, yeah, we can't honor anything. Anchor actually made publicly posted, or he responded to someone's private message, which got publicly posted, going, "Yeah, because some people are making up these false emails, we're not gonna. There's nothing we can do if it didn't register automatically." And then TPG, I guess they got involved, and they came to an agreement where it is being honored, but you have to go through a secondary process to go say you
applied.
Yeah. Then there's some people's accounts were open, then they got closed, or not closed, suspended, and they were demanding people take selfies with their ID and upload it to them for validation.
I had to do that once to open a bank account, but, you know, cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's just been, there's been a lot of horror stories.
Yeah. But good news, it bought the Diane von Furstberg building in Meatpacking District, and they put their name on it, so they're opening soon. New headquarters.
Real
deal.
Okay.
Interesting. Just a lot of stuff going on. I think the missed mortgage payments, though, that's not good.
Well, I mean, look, they ramrodded this transition through in a matter of 2 weeks.
Yeah.
3 weeks, right? From the time you can apply to the, how can you ever expect that to go smoothly?
Especially with financial stuff.
Even if it wasn't financial, any large scale cutover from one to the other, you need a lot of planning, and you have to have all your participants ready for it and primed. And the problem is they did just prior to 3 weeks before, they didn't even give people information.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. And then the last thing, I thought this was really cool, so I thought it would be good to share it on the main show. It's called the blueboard.co. Have you guys seen this?
No.
Because you posted it, yes, but I haven't played around with it much yet.
You got to go check it out real quick. Live reactions on the show. So someone on Reddit built this. It's a real-time dashboard of United operations with the planes in the sky, their schedule, their fleet, delays, weather, the hubs, and stats. I think it's pretty cool. I wish I had time to build stuff like this because this is fascinating to me. Yeah. What do you guys think?
And pull it up. I did look at this the other day. I forgot. It's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty neat little tool. You can like filter things out like long haul. You can show weather. You can highlight the hubs. You can see delay stats, like what's on time, what's not, like what percentage of flights out of specific hubs are on times. My only complaint is they don't list Guam as a hub. So I think it's a small miss.
Have you asked them to fix that?
No, I need something to talk about on the show.
Okay.
It's fine, but I'll ask. Yes. So anyway, cool stuff for our listeners. Yeah. Anything else you guys want to chat about?
Not for me.
All right, we're going to talk about United A350s. We're going to talk about Air Canada A350s. And then we're going to talk about Delta bringing back some old routes for our Patreon supporters. If you're not a patron, you should be. You can sign up. If you don't want to, we appreciate you listening anyway. We'll talk to you next time. Happy travels.
Take care.
See you later.